there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Shouldn't you be at work?
It's a lovely chip! Oh, it's a brilliant goal! From Lord Bohemian!
Still, it's not away. Southgate's shot. Milosevic scores.
EPR could do with a bit of magic from him. Maybe this is it. It is! Andy Sinton from nothing.
Brian Roy has headed for it into lead.
Whelan. Oh, what a goal from Noel Whelan.
No power on it whatsoever, but Taibbi has made a horrendous error.
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Tony Hassan!
No!
Hello and welcome to Quickly Kevin, Will He Score? And we have a bonus episode for you today. I know what you're thinking. Where's the quiz episode? Well, look, it is recorded. It will be out very, very soon. But this week, we'll be dropping onto the feed a couple of excerpts from bonus episodes that are dropping on the Quickly Kevin fan club right now. We've got a book called Private Lives, in which 22 up-and-coming footballers from 1989 are asked a whole range of bizarre questions. What would you do for a day if you were invisible? Who's your least favourite comedian? Which pop star would you most like to be? It's an incredible read. Features the likes of Paul Ince, David Seaman, Paul Gascoigne, Teddy Sheringham. And joining Josh and I on this special episode, we've got Ivo Graham. So what you'll hear now is a little excerpt from the bonus episode that is now dropped on the Quickly Kevin fan club. Private Lives Part 1. Part 2 will be out later this week. If you want to get the full version of this episode and every other episode we've done on the Quickly Kevin fan club, you can sign up at anotherslice.com/quicklykevin or on your Apple podcast app and get all the Quickly Kevin fan club episodes. And don't forget, if you want a ticket to the one Quickly Kevin live show of the year back in London after what might be 5 or 6 years, we'll be playing the London Palladium on Thursday the 16th of May 2024. If you want tickets, just Google London Palladium, Quickly Kevin, and we'll see you there. All right, enough talk. Here it comes. Part one of Private Lives with Ivo Graham. Little excerpt. If you want the full episode, you know what to do. Guess who's back in town? It's Josh Widdicombe.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And joining him as guest, Quickly Kevin royalty. And let's face it, he's probably got some aristocracy in his blood. It's Ivo Graham.
Yes, we had quite a serious conversation this Christmas about taking down some of the family portraits. They are beautiful pictures, but, you know, they're from the 19th century and we just don't know who those people are.
Oh, that's interesting. I'd say I've actually got more royalty in my blood than Ivo.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm a descendant of Henry VIII. So it's quite offensive that just because I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, I see the kind of the graph of, you know, my family as descending from Henry VIII, but I'm hoping that we've bottomed out and now I'm slowly turning it into a return to royalty in 500 years time.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, well, I'm passing you on the way down. multiple generations doing their absolute best in the financial services for me to, no disrespect, occasionally fucking co-host a football podcast.
There'll be no debate in 200 years about whether they take down the painting of Ivo Gray and recording a 90s football podcast.
It's an absolute honour to be here. I'm grateful both for my family's past, but also my own present opportunities.
Before we start, I feel like we need to address that there's a 90s elephant in the room. Chris and me have very different views to Ivo on the Gareth Southgate play.
Yeah. Oh, let's get into it. How have we not talked about this?
So for people that don't know, and it's closed now, but Joseph Fiennes has been playing Gareth Southgate on stage in the West End, which, if you didn't know, that sounds fucking insane.
Mad. Well, also, I don't know. I'm sure it's been a very, very glittering career for Joseph Fiennes in the intervening time. But I've watched Joseph Fiennes in two things. About 20 years apart, I'm playing William Shakespeare and Gareth Southgate. And, you know, they are the two most important
two
Englishmen of all time.
Hugely important Englishmen.
Both will end up buried at Westminster Abbey.
Well, they will if this, you know, play is anything to go by.
First question, just as a side. It focuses on Gareth Southgate's time as England manager. Would you go and watch a sequel if it was just about his time at Aston Villa under Brian Little?
The prequel.
The prequel, yeah, sorry. The prequel.
Dear Holtend. a little bit of showboating from me there. I can name individual stands of many a Premier League player. No, I mean, well, no. The answer is no, of course, Josh, although I would respect the dedication from my namesake, but not relative, the playwright James Graham.
Yes.
It would certainly be the deepest dive I think he'd ever done. And actually, that's slightly my issue. It's both, you know, impressively and gratifyingly for me and you and Chris and the audience of football fans and 90s nostalgics, it is quite funny that there is a play that you can go and see about... which just is like watching the Beckham documentary, essentially. So it is niche. I went with a friend who came out going, oh, I didn't realise it was just going to be so much football.
What did they expect?
What did you expect? It was relentless. But I also think that...
Sorry, can I just ask you about that? What is the play about Gareth Southgate that has almost no focus on his football? Waistcoats.
Do you think they wanted more on the kind of...
emotional... aspects of
racism,
right?
Stuff which there was a good amount on.
Yeah, no, it was a 2.5 hour play, and we got a full overview of the both Gareth Southgate's reign and the cultural and political events surrounding it. What my friend Alethea was not expecting, I think, was for just so many like
is Alethea's portrait on the on the
I've said the name knowing full well that you'll enjoy it. I've not accidentally stumbled into that, may I say. And she typically shortens it, as you might have done the play. Whenever a player leaves a scene, they sort of do an air kick to be like, yeah, I'm a footballer. I felt that was a bit unnecessary.
You've never hung out with a footballer, have you? That's what they do.
Never been in the room when a footballer leaves it.
Well, in that case,
you're showing your own naivety here, if anything.
Yeah. Ivo's met many footballers, but without realising it, Ivo's always been the one who enters and leaves the situation.
Patrick Bamford has never done that, I swear. Or Graham Lasseau. Trying to go through all the poshest ones. Well, I mean, obviously, you have spent a lot of time investigating what goes on behind the scenes in dressing rooms of football teams, etc. Would you say the banter in the play was comparative to the sort of... You know, they're trying to show that there's a fractious atmosphere, that there are club factions, you know, that they don't really relish the chance to come out and hang out and play for free for England. But, you know, the sort of banter... It's quite an extended riff about... how Jordan Pickford and Jordan Henderson are both from Sunderland, and do you have to be called Jordan to come from Sunderland? I was like, yeah, let's get through this bit, whatever this is. We don't need this. Let's get back to the sort of sort of quite hammy impression of Sven-Göran Eriksson, which I imagine they've had to be changed for the last few days of the run.
I just never thought I'd be sat in the theatre saying, that Alex Scott impression is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, you get Scott. You get a lot of Alex Scott.
I thought she was incredible. You know when someone does an impression and you don't realise someone's mannerisms until the impression's done of them, if that makes sense.
I'll be honest with you, Josh just a few days on a different podcast talking about your anxiety about sending a DM to Alex Scott, so I can't help but feel that maybe you just seeing a very good impression of her in a play might, you know, it might be working on all sorts of levels, really.
I thought one of the best impressions is, I think, maybe the first impression, which is Big Sam, because he is a living caricature.
Yep.
When you see that on the stage, I can't believe I'm saying these words, when you see Big Sam on the stage in the West End, like a version of him, I thought that was really good.
That's pretty much the first thing you see is Big Sam getting sacked. Obviously, you know, get your bingo card out, 100% record, pint of wine. You know, it's all there. It does not shy away from catchphrases and obvious, you know, including like Liz Truss comes out at the end for just like literally to be like, let's have a quick laugh about how short Liz Truss's reign was. She's not even compared to Sam Allardyce. I think that would have been quite a nice touch. Yeah,
that's an obvious open goal.
But not for me to, you know, rewrite this play.
Yeah.
The manager of Panama.
He gets a huge amount, doesn't he? You texted me about that yesterday.
Yeah, I thought it was very odd. And I forgot that Panama got a goal back. That's the sort of weird thing about what you're watching the play, but you're also going, oh yeah, Panama scored a consolation. You are getting taken, which I don't think Alethea was reminiscing on quite such a deep level.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The world isn't wide enough. Get immersed in the expansive views of the 48-inch customizable panoramic display in the all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid. Explore more at Lincoln.com. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Do you love Gareth Southgate from this play or generally?
Did you not think that Gareth Southgate is presented as a bit of a pathetic figure? That, like, he's seen as a bit of a Wally throughout. There isn't really a redemption arc. I didn't think there was a massive redemption arc. He's just constantly, I don't know, a bit weedy and a bit... Fines plays him... I don't know. He doesn't come across as the hero of the story, I didn't think.
Who's the hero of the story?
The Panama manager. Dervla Kerwin.
I think because England don't win anything, I hate to give away the ending, that it's kind of... There isn't... He struggled to find an ending. And he landed on... Well, he was there to help everyone else miss penalties.
Actually, I think the story is greater for England not winning anything.
Oh, okay, explain.
Wow,
explain.
What would they? Listen, they'd be saying online that you've been blue pilled or red pilled, but I can never work out which one's the right one for the context. But I mean, I sort of agree with you.
I think the story of Gareth Southgate is greater for the fact that we haven't won the World Cup.
No. Yeah, that is an insane opinion.
No.
Because he's meant to repair the loss, isn't it?
No, I think it's about more than that, isn't it? It's about the way a nation perceives itself in terms of sport, in terms of what they think it is that defines English football. And I don't think winning World Cups necessarily... is central to narratives of great teams. Brazil 1982. I'm not saying England are the same team, but I'm saying the stories of teams exist beyond whether or not they've just won a World Cup. And that's the whole thing is about, it's not just about win, win, win. It's about the kind of wider context of it and what it means to to kind of go on that journey. And so if we just won the World Cup, it's distilled down to it, and then we just won the World Cup.
Well, listen, I'm seeing Brazil 82 at the Noel Coward next week, so I'll let you know how that compares.
Hungry 54.
I suppose
the great Danish team of the 80s.
The play makes a big thing of how it's got a three-act structure, and how is this? I mean, I'm very intrigued to know, just to talk about how much of everything was true. I also don't want to delay us getting to our main subject, but it says that Gareth Southgate was put in charge on an interim basis ahead of the 2018 World Cup post Allardyce, and one of the first things he did was he said to the players, "No pressure in this World Cup. We've got a count. We've literally got a countdown." He sets a countdown timer to Qatar, and he says, "We're going to win Qatar in 4 years." And so the play presents it as a three act structure of World Cup 2018, Euro 2020 and 21, and then World Cup 22 in Qatar. And obviously, you nudge closer from one to two, and then three, it's like, went out in the quarterfinals, and so that's a bit of a shame. But Gareth's still there, and we're feeling very positive still. And then we just sing Sweet Caroline at the end, and the players dance, which I didn't love that. But standing ovation.
Standing out, I more or less started it. I more or less started it, because do you know why I started it? But in a way, I felt like the standing ovation was a mistake, because that undermines the narrative, like winning a World Cup. You don't need the standing ovation. That's the whole point, Ivo.
Interesting. It's another fantastic contrarian point from Josh.
This is some of the most spectacular post-rationalisations of England's failures I've ever heard.
When you say, Josh, that you started the standing ovation, do you mean that you and your row, during the first penalty shootout scene, were stood with your arms around each other like you two?
I thought the stuff on penalties was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliantly done.
Which bit?
I thought the bit where the guy is like, this is exactly what it's about. The guy's like, you've got to take longer to take your penalty. And Dervla Kerwin from Ballykiss Angel is saying,
oh yeah, that's where she's from.
It's not about the length of time you take a penalty. It's about the other things you do that means that you take the length of time to take the penalty. It's not, do you know what I mean? It's more than that. It's what's going on inside your head. I thought all the penalty stuff was genuinely very, very interesting.
Chris, have you seen it?
Yes.
Chris loved it.
I did. I don't know if I loved it.
Chris, I can find some of the texts you sent me. Before Ivo's criticisms.
It's a fun question. This isn't a criticism. Just of all the penalties that you could show that England have missed in the last, well, let's say since Euro 96 or even further back, one of them gets shown real, like, high def, long. And it was a play where you did see stuff on the screens occasionally, but so intermittently that you thought, have they sort of just not really decided how much they want to use this? Or are there sort of one of those things where, like, there are rights reasons why they can show something?
I think
some
there must
things,
be clearance issues. I think you must have to pay for stuff.
The pivotal
otherwise
penalty
use loads of clips
of England in the last 40 years. Is it Southgate himself? Well, obviously that is part of the play, so that is in there. Is it Waddle? Is it Batty? Of course, of this parish. No, it's Jamie Carragher in either 2004 or 2006. One of the Portugal
2006.
Ones. And Carragher, we watch in full. Carragher take his penalty very well, but, and I'd forgotten this, too fast. So it's he has to take it again, which, you know, not ideal. And that's then the start of this point about how, you know.
I think that's fascinating that they've chosen that, because they haven't gone for the iconic penalty. But let me just leave you with a fact, because I know you're all about gongs and victories. not the wider. Gareth Southgate remains by far the most successful England manager outside of Alf Ramsey by a distance. And when Gareth Southgate leaves, I cannot wait for everyone to realise that they didn't realise quite how good they had it.
Yeah, I love Gareth Southgate, and I thought I really enjoyed Joseph Fiennes' portrayal of him. That was always good for me, and lots of the stuff around it was fun, and lots of it just I found a bit weird. And the previous England managers he was compared to with some fabulous impressions, as I say, were Graham Taylor, got loads of Graham Taylor, Sven-Goran Eriksson, who, you know, all joking aside, thoughts are with, and then Fabio Capello, where it really hammed up the sort of Fabio Capello, but no Roy.
Yeah.
No, I thought we'd have a fun.
I thought that was
Roy.
A shame, because he's probably the one, the easiest guy to do an impression of out of all of the England managers ever.
And the least racist.
Yes. yeah, exactly. He's the biggest failure as England manager, I'd say.
Yeah.
I'm delighted to have spoken to you about it on here, because I've sat with these thoughts in my head.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's finished now, isn't it, at the West End? I was going to say go see it, but I would say as well, when I went to see it.
Broadcast in a cinema. And it is, it's, it's a great, there's a bit where they project onto the back screen. They're quite sparse with the back screen a lot of the time. And then they're talking about all of England's failures and they project like a wall chart of every tournament and they move through them really quickly. I was sat there being like, I'd love to spend a bit more time with these wall charts, just being reminded of non-England games in the second round.
I can't find Skull's messages, but he was effusive.
I did enjoy it.
You loved it.
It was enjoyable. It's the perfect, being married to a theatre producer is the perfect marriage of a subject matter I'm really interested in, but in the context of a theatre, so the wife can, deconstruct it.
And what were your wife's thoughts? Did she see it?
She cried. She thought it was really emotional, really well written. I thought James Graham probably isn't a football fan. It felt a bit, I don't know, like, when you're in a pub talking to someone about football and you get the sense that they don't really know about football. It had a bit of that about it.
I don't know. I think, as we've established over the last 8 years, the fictionalisation of football is almost impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, there's a lot of pretending to kick footballs that aren't there, which never looks good, just to go back to one of Ivo's earlier points.
And I will reiterate what I texted you, Josh, which is that if you want to be really moved by Gareth Southgate's journey and what he brought to the England team, and you don't have an evening and 80 quid, just watch the montage of the penalties on against Colombia, that with the England by the National soundtracking it, the greatest football montage of all time. That will do the job.
Do you think that's better than the one where England beat Germany and when we beat Germany at Wembley? The montage after that was fucking incredible.
Two incredible montages there.
Yeah.
It's a fine art.
Can I say one final thing on that? Is that, Ivo, when you leave a room now, I feel you should mind putting the mic back in the stand.
Can I ever drop it? Invoice me for the microphone.
There you go. That was Private Lives Part 1. Part 2 will be dropping on the Quickly Kevin Fan Club on Thursday. Once again, if you want the full episode, you can join the Quickly Kevin Fan Club and get access to all the bonus episodes we've done. And there's plenty more bonus episodes coming this month after these two parts of Private Lives. So if you want to sign up, head to anotherslice.com/QuicklyKevin or look on your Apple Podcast app. We'll see you on Thursday for more Private Lives.